Welcome to Starkville Church of God. This is our podcast. I wanted to thank you for joining us today. I hope this inspires you, strengthens you, and fills you with God's love so you can share with others. Enjoy the message.
This is Super Bowl Sunday. And, there comes a point in time where, I hope over the last few years, it's been quite a while that, I've tried to say, well, let's not just try to fight it. Let's use the culture that's going on around us and try to pull something from it. So this morning, I want to give you, believe it or not, some spiritual lessons from the Super Bowl. And so if you're a note taker, this will be pretty easy for you this morning. Number one, as we look at the Super Bowl, there are no bench warmers, I believe, should be in the kingdom. You see, no player wants to ride the bench. There's no player in the NFL that wants to just sit there. It's their desire to be able to get out and play. Being here next to the university and being as familiar as we are with sports and college sports, it's the desire of every athlete not to go ride a bench. Now, we know sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to have patience. But it's the desire of every player to be able to get out on the field, whatever field that may be, whether it's baseball or softball or football or track or whatever their sport may be, or on the hardwood, basketball or volleyball. It's the desire of each player to be able to participate in the sport. But unfortunately, in the church, we find that there are some Christians that are content with just pew warming. There are some that just say, you know what, I am okay with just sitting here. I don't really want to get that involved. I just want to come and I want to sit and I want to soak it in and I want to receive and I want to be blessed. Listen, I want to tell you that that's not the way God intended for it to operate. God never intended for us to just come and soak it all in. And I know you probably get tired of hearing me say this, but I'm going to keep on saying it. God made us. He spoke to Abraham, said, I blessed you to be a blessing. God never called us to be a reservoir of blessings just to hold and to cord to ourselves. God called us to be a conduit, to channel His blessings and His glory from Him to us. When God put this thing together, God chose for reasons beyond me. God chose that He wanted to use imperfect people like me and like you to be able to get His blessings from Him to you. Now, I've heard stories of Jesus visiting people in their dreams, even over in Muslim countries, but yet still, there was a missionary that had to be the one to tell the good news and explain the gospel. Can I tell you, you may not hold an official position in the church, but God has work for you to do right here in our local congregation. Can I just say it? There is work that you can do. You say, Pastor, I'm not a singer. Guess what? I'm not either. You know, singing's not the only thing in the church. Say, I'm not a preacher. Well, guess what? I'm not much of one either. But for some reason, God chose to call me and to use me. But there are so many things that can be done around here. There are, we need nursery workers. We need people to teach our kids on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights. We need help. Listen, it's not, I know what some people say, well, I don't want to get stuck in a class. We need people that will fill in sometimes and help teach classes. We need people that are willing to help out and say, you know what? I'm willing to make coffee over in the cafe. I'm willing to help clean up. I'm willing to go pick up donuts. I'm willing. There are all kinds of things that you could be doing. We need ushers. We need greeters. We need people of all type. But God never called us as Christians to sit on the bench and to do absolutely nothing. In the kingdom, there should be no bench warmers. Somebody say amen. Number two, as we look at spiritual lessons we can find from the Super Bowl, football is a very violent sport. We find that players are aggressive. And unfortunately, sometimes players are even injured. Sometimes injuries occur during this game. Well, how does that relate, you say, to faith in Christ? Well, the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12 tells us this, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." You know, it's saddened me to see in the last few years how passive the church has become, how passive Christians have been. We've backed down, folks. We've let every other movement, we've let every other agenda, we've let every other group assert itself and push itself. And what has the church done for many years now? We've just kind of sat back and said, well, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to cause any trouble. We don't want to. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The word translated violence is the original word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that in the Greek, but it is like the violence of an army taking a city by storm, or of a crowd bursting into a house. Now, look at this. Take note here. This is not referring to the use of physical violence in Christianity. I'm not saying go out there on the street and grab somebody by the collar and say, you need to accept Jesus right now. But what I am saying is spiritually, and the way we are, as I've said, we've become so passive and we've bowed down to everybody else and every other agenda. I believe that God has called us to once again get a holy boldness on the inside of us. I believe it's time that we once again, when everybody else is trying to push an agenda, when the world and when it's ultimately coming from heaven, hell is trying to push this kind of garbage on you to tell you that things that God has clearly said in this book is sin, and they're trying to say it's not a sin, that we stand up and you don't got to even yell at them, but you don't also, how many times are we back down just but yeah, and we're just too scared to say anything, but we've got to start standing up and saying, listen, I love you and God loves you, but that's not right. The book says it. I can't agree with you. God loves you. I love you. But I'm not going to just sit back and let you tell me your opinion over and over and over and not expect me to go ahead and tell you what thus saith the word of God says. Amen. Matthew Henry, the next line, Matthew Henry says it like this. He says there is a pursuit. When you look at his commentary on this verse, he says there's a pursuit. Bible study. Wow, I'm not going to lie to you. It convicted me a little bit. When you said you started reading, 7 hours a day? 7 hours a day. Now, I know we don't have 7 hours a day. I know that was the beginning and all, but 7 hours a day that he got hungry for this book. And I'm not saying, I know you got to go to work. I know that was the beginning time, and I understand that. But listen, how hungry do we pursue this? How often do we make sure that we shove everything else aside? You know, since we're talking about football this morning, you know, how many, I always like a good stiff arm, you know. How many times have you stiff-armed social media or stiff-armed, you know, everything else trying to get your distraction and say, no, you know, I gotta read. I've got to pursue God through this, through prayer, through fasting, through attending church. How many times have we been willing to be so hungry and in everything within us pursue? You know, I saw here just recently the quarterback at Washington. He's going to the NFL now, but I saw a video of when he was, I believe he was still a freshman, and he was there in the stadium running through drills, training by himself. You find many time athletes, some of the most successful athletes, are not just those that have skill, but it's those that have skill and they also have discipline to hone those skills.
And I watched this video of how he was going above and beyond. And time after time after time, you see the most successful, that they are so determined that they are going to pursue what they are doing with everything within them. Now, for those of you that aren't old enough or have no idea who this is, I'm wearing the jersey of Peyton Manning. He's retired now, but one of my favorite players. And one of the things that Peyton always did, he spent a lot of time toward the end of his career, especially when he was a Bronco. When he got to the end of his career, he was not that athletic anymore. He had had that spinal fusion surgery. They had fused some of the vertebrae in his neck. And you watch some of his earlier years when he was high school and playing for Tennessee, he was fairly athletic. But once he got to the end, he wasn't as athletic. But what he did do is he pursued and he used what he did have, his mind. And I am one of the greatest quarterbacks because of his mind and the way that he would study defenses and read defenses, cheap shots here and there. He would watch the defense, and if they were subbing, he'd have quick calls, and he'd call the offense at the line to go ahead and line up and snap the ball and get cheap 5 yards from defenses. How did he do that? He was in pursuit. He was in pursuit of the sport. How much are we pursuing God, church? Do we have the same kind of tenacity? Do we have the same kind of motivation that athletes have for their sport? Unfortunately, this last thing at the end, as it relates to football being a violent sport, is sometimes you get hurt. You know, last year, the game of the Buffalo Bills, actually saw a player die on a field and was resuscitated back to life. We've seen it right here at our own university at the games. We've seen players get hurt. I remember watching Nick Fitzgerald getting his leg broken gruesomely down at the ankle during a game. Unfortunately, sometimes in the game of football, because it is so violent, people get hurt. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, in the church, people get hurt too. I wish it wasn't so. I wish as a pastor, and you know, I try to do everything that I can to put up safeguards. I don't want people to get hurt. But here's the unfortunate truth, that the church is made up of people, imperfect people. Imperfect like me, imperfect like you. The only part of the church that's perfect is the head of the church, Jesus Christ. But the body is a lot of imperfect people. And sometimes in this life, and sometimes in the life of the church, people do get hurt. But you know what? You know what I've found so many times? When it comes to sports, you find that players are doing what? When a player gets hurt, many times the very next morning, if there's a surgery needed, many times if they're hurt the very next morning, they're laying on an operating table, getting the surgery that they need to get to fix it, and to be able to start their rehabilitation to do what? To be able to play the game again. What happens many times in churches, we get hurt and we just what? I'm done with it. I'm finished with it. I got hurt in the church. I don't want anything to do with church. I don't want anything to do with God. Listen, I'm not going to stand up here again. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that you will never, ever get hurt. I'm going to do everything that I can to try to help from it happening, but I cannot stand up here and tell you that you will never get hurt. But what I can tell you is this: please, 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 if you've ever suffered church hurt, or if you ever do suffer church hurt, please don't do like the example that so many have given in the church and just throw up your hands and say, I'm done. Take the example of what these athletes do. If it requires surgery, the next morning be laying on the operating table, say, I need to get this fixed so I can start working my way back. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on the church. If you've been hurt or you get hurt, please don't give up and quit. Say, God, I need you to help me. I need you to fix me. I'm hurt. I'm injured. And I don't want to just quit. I got to keep moving. Number three, how else do we find these spiritual principles in the Super Bowl? Victories sometimes come 1 yard at a time. Sometimes, and we love them, sometimes there are the big plays. But most of the time, it's a yard-by-yard game. You know, sometimes sitting watching football with Jamie, you know, y'all know she's an Alabama fan. She was almost perfect when we got married, you know, but there were still a few flaws that have stuck with her. But she'll be watching it, you know, and she just, you know, she just wants it. They'll run a play. They'll run it up the middle. They'll pick up 2 or 3 yards. Why do they do that? I mean, she wants a touchdown every time that they have the ball. I'm like, they picked up 3 yards. I said, if you pick up 3 yards, it's when you lose 10 yards is when you're in trouble. But, you know, we're all like that. You know, we like the big stuff. We like the great big testimonies. We like the big old stuff, and I thank God for the big old stuff. I thank God that sometimes in my life, there are moments in my life that God does do the great big stuff. Please don't misunderstand me. God still does the great big stuff. But on the average, many people feel like that it's supposed to be a spectacle all the time, but on the average, every day, we've got to just grind it out. Every single day that we wake up, we ask God to help us, we read the Word, we pray, we do what we're supposed to do. And one day we'll have big plays. We'll have those every once in a while. Every once in a while, that receiver gets open and the quarterback sees him and it's that great big 60-yard touchdown. Or the running back happens to slip enough tackles and he's gone and he gets the touchdown. And sometimes we do. We have those huge things in life, a miraculous healing or a miraculous provision, or God does something awesome in our life, and that is awesome and that is terrific, and God does those things, but on the average, it is a grind it out every single day. And we'll watch this game tonight. Some of you will, some of you don't care. But for those of you that do, we'll watch this game tonight, and we'll look at the Super Bowl, and we'll look at the grand stage that it is, and all the media attention and everything. But what we don't watch is those practices, those workouts, those times where those players have got to just get alone when the cameras aren't there and the lights aren't there, and they got to grind it out 1 yard at a time. Fourthly and finally, as the musicians come, just like in the Super Bowl, these spiritual principles, there is a goal. Now, you may not be able to see who this next, if you take me to the next slide here. There is a goal. Probably a lot of you don't know Danny Smith. I don't know if you can see that number. That's Vic Ballard. After he left Mississippi State, he played for the Colts a little bit. He fought injury and was able to have a long career. That's one of our former Mississippi State running backs, and I believe that was a touchdown that got them into the playoffs that particular year. There's a goal. Tonight, as they line up, just like every other football game, there's a goal. One team is defending their goal, and the other team wants to get across that line. There's a goal. You cross that line with the ball following the rules of the game, you receive a touchdown. The next slide, there's a goal. The Lombardi Trophy. A Super Bowl ring. That's why they play it. Now, it is, and they have fun, they enjoy it. You know, most of them, if you like the sport, you enjoy the sport that you play, and you enjoy it. But the reason you get into it and the reason you do it all is for what? Because one day you hope to be able to hoist that trophy that says you're the world champion. Walk around with those rings on your finger. I want to forget one of my favorite commercials. I don't even remember what the commercial was for. But again, I'm showing my age here. But it was a commercial, and they began to, you know, they're talking about winning the Heisman and how cool it was and all that kind of stuff. And Joe Montana was on that commercial. And they're like, Joe, you never did win a Heisman, did you? And he picked up his hand with all the Super Bowl rings that he had. He said, no, I never won the Heisman. There's a goal. There's a goal in football. You want to win the prize. You want to win the trophy. You want to wear the ring. And just like football, there's a goal for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 25. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. You know, I hate to put it, because it really doesn't, but go ahead and put that next slide up there, because it really doesn't represent, no paint, even as great as Thomas Kincaid is, he can't paint how heaven really is and the glorious. But I just got to give you some mental note here to remember. Listen, the goal for us as Christians, it's not here on earth. We used to sing about it and preach about it a lot more, but, you know, we're really only strangers and pilgrims passing through this world. Our goal is like Abraham. The Bible said Abraham looked forward to a city whose builder and maker was the Lord. Abraham, you know, he lived a blessed life here on earth. Yes, he enjoyed a lot of things, but that was not his final destination, and that was not his goal. He was looking ahead to something more. Everything I can while living here on planet earth, I want to serve the Lord. I want to enjoy every blessing that he gives to me. But ultimately, there is nothing on planet earth that can compare to heaven. Heaven is my final destination. That's where I'm working toward. And I know in the last 50 years or so, we've kind of, it's like we just want to avoid it. But listen, I still believe that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I am looking for a prize that the Bible said, I read you that, they get a crown that will not last. Listen, there are Super Bowl rings that have been pawned off. Super Bowl rings that have been broken. The Vince Lombardi trophies, they will eventually rust and tarnish and be gone. But the prize that I am running for today, the kingdom of heaven is everlasting. I'm living for God so that one day I can have a reward where moths can't come in and ruin, where rust cannot tarnish, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. But it is an eternal, everlasting home in heaven with God. Come on, give the Lord praise with me, if you will. Stand with me all over the house this morning. I want to pray God's blessings on you here today. I want to pray over you. I want to pray that these things that we've talked about, there's no bench warmers. I want to pray that God would inspire some of you to be more active in his kingdom. Football's a violent sport. I want to pray that God would give us a stronger desire to pursue him in his ways. And I want to pray that some folks that have been hurt in church, I want this to be a place of healing. People that have been hurt in churches out there, I want them to come and find it. I'm going to pray. Unfortunately, listen, I can't guarantee it won't ever happen here, but I want to pray that instead of quitting and giving up, that we could say it's not over. Let's do what we've got to do. Let's fix what we got to fix, and let's get you back into rehabilitation so that you can serve again. Victories come 1 yard at a time. I'm going to pray that God would help us not to just to quit and to get so tired that we're always looking for the spectacular, that we quit in the everyday mundane, and that we would remember that there's a goal, not a goal here on this earth, but a goal called heaven.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. To find out more about us, follow us on social media at StarkvilleCOG. Special thanks to those who generously support this ministry. If you would like to give, visit us at StarkvilleCOG.com/give. And if you've enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.